This morning I dedicate my sermon to Rabbi Omori, my teacher, my rabbi, Rabbi Norman Kahan, who taught me back when I was in college and first thought about becoming a rabbi, that a rabbi has two jobs. One is to comfort the disturbed, and the other is to disturb the comfortable. Today falls into the latter category, I'm warning you. Rabbi Yitz Greenberg, a wonderful man who's a modern Orthodox rabbi, once quipped that it doesn't matter what Jewish denomination you belong to as long as you're ashamed of it. It's cute, but it's actually really wise. What Yitz was saying was that no denomination has all the answers. Nobody's got it all right. And in fact, he said, if your denomination says it has all the answers, you've already identified their number one issue. Because that's not the way it works in the real world. So this is Yom Kippur. It's a time for self-evaluation. And so today I want to share with you something that I hope we can all take to heart as a self-evaluation of us as Reformed Jews. Now, let's be clear. It'd be a lot easier for me and a lot more fun for you if I got up here and told you what's wrong with all the other denominations. We could all have a good laugh. We could talk about that. But that's not what Yom Kippur is for. It's not for talking about what others do wrong or what others have a problem with. This is for discussing ourselves. And so that's the way I want to begin. I have a number of Google searches that pop up so I know what's going on. I have one in my name so I know when people are calling me names. I have one in Shira's name for when they say all the nice things about her. And I have one that says Reformed Jews because I want to hear what people are saying about Reformed Jews. And very often that takes me onto discussion boards that tend toward the Orthodox, whatever. And most of what they have to say about Reformed Jews isn't really nice. Most of what they have to say is also really ignorant. It's as if they've never met a Reformed Jew, and so they've decided what we do and what we don't do. And I read through them, and I am easily able to blow off most of them because most of them are really completely ignorant of who we are. But back in May, I had one of these things and looked at it, and I read something. And I thought about it. Usually it's a one-liner, and this wasn't a one-liner. And I moved on, and I went back to it and read it again. The next day, I went and looked at it again. And when I found myself going back to it on the third day, I said, you know what, I'd better copy this because it's obviously something that I need to think about. Here's what it said. Get her. Reformed Jews are Jews in name only. They do not keep the mitzvot. They do not keep Shabbos. They ignore many Jewish yontifs and minimize the rest. They do not keep kosher. They do not daven daily or even weekly. They give their children the least Jewish education possible, and adult Jewish learning is virtually non-existent. They don't support the Jewish community, and they don't support Israel. So what's Jewish about them? Whew. Now, show of hands, how many of you identify yourselves as Reformed Jews? I'm not being funny, just show of hands. Okay, a lot of people in the room, good, okay. I was thinking of asking you what percentage of the Jewish population, the Reformed Jewish population you think this describes. I decided not to ask because I thought it might be a little painful. But I'd like you to think right now. And by the way, I don't like this at all. I don't know that anyone who's a Reformed Jew is gonna sit here and say you like this, but I want you to look at it again. And I'm going to ask you, don't raise your hands, do you think it accurately describes at least a quarter of the people who call themselves Reformed Jews? Okay. What about 50%? I think 75% might be pushing it. See, let me ask a different question. Now with a show of hands. How many of you don't, whether you agree with it or not, how many of you don't like what it says? Okay, good. I don't like it either. I don't like it at all. But I don't think it's necessarily wrong. And that leads to a really interesting question. If we don't like it, how do we get here? I was thinking about it over the summer, and I thought, you know what? With the number of Reformed Jews that this accurately describes, we should consider this as the new ad campaign for Temple Road of Torah. Come to Road of Torah. We don't keep the mitzvot. We don't keep Shabbos. We ignore most of the holidays. We don't keep kosher. We don't daven. We have little Jewish education. We don't support the Jewish community. Join us. You think we get a lot of members out of that? Phrased differently, we might, but not like that. So if we don't like it, and if it would not attract people to us, how come it describes so many people that call ourselves Reformed Jews? Well, back in May, I heard something from one of my teachers from back in rabbinic school, Rabbi Lawrence Hoffman. And Rabbi Hoffman reminded us that above the ark in many synagogues, there's a phrase in Hebrew that says, Da lifnei mi ata omed, know before whom you stand. And Rabbi Hoffman said that the purpose of that, the original purpose, was to remind us when we come into synagogue that we are in God's presence and that we should conduct ourselves accordingly. Know before whom you stand before God. But, Rabbi Hoffman said, in the 21st century, that phrase carries a different meaning and a different challenge for us. Know before whom you stand to us means figure out what you stand for as a Jew. And he pointed out that in our society, you and I are almost never called upon to stand up for being Jewish. It doesn't happen. There have been times or places where we had to stand up for being Jewish, often at the cost of our lives. But in 21st century America, this doesn't happen very often. I don't know about you, but I haven't had my Judaism questioned or challenged. I've experienced virtually no anti-Semitism in my entire life, and I'm a rabbi. You want to aim at someone, Shira and I are in the phone book. Remember phone books? We're in the phone book. It says rabbi. Everyone in the community knows where we live. You know how many acts of vandalism we've had against our house in 35 years? None. In the history of Temple Road of Torah, we had one. A stupid teenager many years ago came and drew a swastika on the outside wall. We've called the police, we found out who it was, and the kid spent 4 hours. He found out that getting paint out of sandstone is really hard. That's it. In the whole history of our congregation. So what's going on here? We haven't been called on to stand up for what it means to be Jewish. And we Reformed Jews have been telling ourselves something that's wrong. We've been telling ourselves that we're just like everyone else, that we're no different. But if you're going to be Jewish, you're going to be different. That's the way it goes. We live in a Christian society. And if not Christian, then secular with Christian flavor to it. And so anything we do that's Jewish is by definition different from the society. Our ancestors knew this. The first Jews that came to this country in the 1800s, all they wanted to do was to fit into this new society, to be welcomed, to be accepted. So the first thing they did when they got off the boat was they stopped dressing like Jews. They dressed like everybody else. Second thing they did was they stopped eating like Jews. Because if they got invited to a neighbor's house and the neighbor served shrimp cocktail, they didn't want to have to say no. They felt that would be offensive. They even tried to move Shabbat to Sunday. No kidding. Because that way, when they went to temple, would be when everyone else was going to church, and we could be just like everyone else. It didn't work, but they tried. Because all they wanted was to fit in and be accepted. But let's be honest. In the 21st century, especially in metropolitan New York, do you think Jews have any issue with fitting in and being accepted? Really? Those country clubs that used to be restricted, they're not anymore. The schools that used to be restricted, they're not anymore. Folks, we fit in. But we keep telling ourselves, don't be different. And it's having an effect. Because it turns out that everything that that gentleman, was a gentleman, I'm not sure he was a gentleman, he was a man, wrote in this thing is something that we would do that would look Jewish. Now think about this in our world. I want you to imagine a situation, because our problem is not what other people are doing to us anymore. It's now a problem of what we're doing to ourselves. So I'd like you to imagine that a neighbor of yours who's Christian invites you to a party on a Friday evening. And you say to them, oh, thank you so much for the invitation, but it's Friday evening and it's the Sabbath and I'm going to temple, so I'm sorry I won't be able to attend. Do you think your Christian neighbor is going to be angry with you? Do you think they're going to stop being your friend because you said you went, we're going to go to temple instead of going to their party? Anyone? Because I don't imagine that anyone would do that. And yet I hear week after week when someone says they're going to temple, their Reformed Jewish friends say to them, no, dude, we're having a party. Come on over. You can go to a temple another time. This is going to be much more fun. Come to the party. Blow off shul. We do it to ourselves. Years ago, Shira was a den leader for Cub Scouts. And when she took over, she realized that all of the pack events were on Friday evening. And after a while, this was a problem for us. After a while, she went to the leadership of the pack and she said, listen, would it be possible if we spread out the pack events? Some on Friday evenings, some on Saturdays, some on Sundays, so everyone could attend. You know what the leader said? Of course we can do that. Thank you so much for suggesting it. We never thought of it before. She had no problem and it was changed. Except from the parents of the Jewish kids. Some of them said to her, and most of them said behind her back, what is she trying to do, turn our kids into little rabbis? Because, you see, within the Reformed Jewish world, if someone chooses to do something Jewish, the only possible reason is because you want to be a rabbi. The Jewish parents were angry at her for suggesting not that she move everything off Shabbat, but just that we alternate. And folks, look, let's face this with Jewish education. Right now, if a Reformed Jewish child wants to continue their Jewish education after their bar bat mitzvah, or if their parents say you're gonna continue your Jewish education after your bar bat mitzvah, they get not one word of disagreement from their Christian friends, their Muslim friends, their other friends. Do you know what their Reformed Jewish friends say to them? Why are you doing that? What a waste of time. My parents said, I don't have to go. Tell your parents that you don't have to go either. What, do you want to be a rabbi? In our world right now, in our community right now, a Jewish teenager who wants to continue their Jewish education has to defend their decision against other Reformed Jews. What is going on here? Are we so afraid of being different? Our neighbors won't accept us. We won't fit in. We won't be okay. We're doing this one to ourselves. Now, I don't think anyone here wants to say, me, I'm a bad Jew. I don't care. If you do, it's a free world. So what's happening? No one's asked us to stand up for what it means to be Jewish. Ladies and gentlemen, if someone came along and made a rule and said that attending Shabbat services was going to be illegal, this room would be up in arms. I'm not joking. We would be calling our congresspeople. We would be doing everything. We'd be marching, saying, hell no, we're not going to accept that. But no one's making us stand up for it. So we don't go. If anyone said that we're going to outlaw kosher food, we would freak out. How can you do that in a free country? But no one's asking us to stand up for it. So we don't. If anyone were to say that giving Jewish children a Jewish education was going to be illegal, oh my God, could you imagine what we would do? But no one's saying it. So we shop around to figure out where our kids can get the least Jewish education possible. And we're Yotze. We've fulfilled our obligation. No one's doing this to us. No one's out there pressuring us and saying, if you're not just like us, we're not going to let you in our club. We're doing it to ourselves because no one's ever put it to us like this and said, okay, what do you stand for? On the first day of 10th grade, here's what I say to my students. Through this year, I want you to think about whether your Judaism is important enough to you that you will do something because you're Jewish that you weren't going to do anyway. In other words, where will you stand up for being Jewish? And by the way, that doesn't include Hanukkah. In fact, I have a basic theory about this. Anything which there's a Hallmark card for has become so American that it's not even Jewish anymore. Hanukkah, as everyone knows, is the Jewish Christmas. It's not, but trust me, it's the Jewish Christmas. Passover is the Jewish Easter. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year. It's a weird time, but it's like New Year's. But those other things, those weird things that just Jews do, we have a problem with them. And I've got to say, I don't understand why. I'm not asking what you do individually. I'm saying we as a group. I feel like we're still living in the 1850s in Denver, Colorado, where we've got to fit in because there are 9 Jews in town. And if we don't do what they do, we don't have any friends. For God's sakes, we live in Western Monmouth, New Jersey. You can't turn around without hitting someone Jewish, and every Catholic kid in town knows more about Judaism than most of the kids in the Midwest. We're accepted. We're good. We're so good that we stop standing up for what it means to be Jewish. So what do we do? Look, first of all, if you're comfortable with this, as I said, it's a free country. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. But when I asked you who didn't like this, almost all of you raised your hands. So if you don't like this, but you have a suspicion that it's a somewhat accurate description, then I'm going to make you a suggestion. This year, pick something Jewish and stand for it. Where do you start? Honestly, the guy gave us a great list. I don't mean everything on here, but imagine if every person in this room decided to pick one Jewish thing and stand for it. What if we said, I want to learn what the mitzvot are. I don't mean don't kill. I mean, what are the Jewish mitzvot? Shabbat. I don't need to keep an Orthodox Shabbat. I don't need to sit in the dark and not watch TV or use my phone. But what if I took a day and devoted it to myself and to my family and to my God? Huh. What if I observed the holiday from one end of it to the other? Yom Kippur goes till the end of the day today. Pesach is 7 days. What if I found out about those holidays that I don't even know about, the ones there are no Hallmark cards for? Sukkot, Purim, Shavuot. Found out about one of them and did it. By the way, you can build a sukkah. If I can build a sukkah that doesn't fall down, you can build a sukkah. Huh, I wonder if I could think about eating the way Jews eat. Ladies and gentlemen, take one look at me and you will know that it is not difficult to find delicious things to eat even if you keep kosher. This is not my problem. Don't daven daily. Well, what if I did? I don't mean that whole service or whatever, but what if I got up in the morning and started with morning blessings? Where would I get them? Oh, maybe I could ask the rabbi. He'd know, and he'd have a sheet that he could hand me right away. I do. Feel free to ask me. What if I decided to support Jewish education for my children and for other children by making sure the school had what it needed to provide the best education possible. And maybe I'm going to sign up and learn something too. I heard the new classes are starting pretty soon. What if I did what Robin said before and actually really reached out to support the Jewish community? What if I gave a contribution that was really going to make a difference? And by the way, please, folks, if you want to be a good Reformed Jew, I don't care where else you give your money. Please don't think that giving to Chabad makes you a good Reformed Jew, because Chabad does not think much of us as Jews, believe me. If not this Jewish community, then pick one. I don't care. Pick a Reformed Jewish community you believe in and support it. And Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the only voices we hear supporting Israel in our country today are from Orthodox Jews and right-wing Christians. And there's something really, really wrong with that. Oh, I don't think Israel's perfect. I don't think it's got all the answers. But there are people out there making demands on Israel that they make on no other country in the world, and that's what I try to fight against. The people in BDS, the Boycott, Divest, Sanction, which include many Reformed Jews on our campuses, say that Israel has no right to exist until it opens its borders to every Palestinian. In other words, Israel has no right to exist until it commits suicide. We've heard all the things coming out of Russia these days. Is anyone saying Russia shouldn't exist? China denies human rights to hundreds of millions of people. Does anyone say China has no right to exist? North Korea, Myanmar, the Philippines. We hear about this all the time, yet only one country on earth do people say, we don't think you belong in the League of Nations until you kill yourselves. People love dead Jews. They're not so wild about live Jews. Every year I go to APAC, a conference in the spring in support of Israel. And when I go there, you know what people say to me? It's about time there's a Reformed Jew here. By the way, I'm a minority. Several of our temple members go. Most don't. I'm a minority. There's a lot of Orthodox, a lot of Christians, big crosses, pro-Israel. Reformed Jews, very few. Ladies and gentlemen, I am willing to pay for your enrollment fee to go to APAC with me in the spring. I've already bought them. I have what's called registration fee, hundreds of dollars already paid. You need to get to Washington, you need to pay your own meals and hotel. But I want you to come with me. I want us to stand up as Reformed Jews and say, yes, with all its mishigas, we support Israel as Reformed Jews. We can do this, but we need to stand up. When we read Torah today, the first line says, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Adonai Eloheichem. You are standing today, all of you, before Adonai your God, to be entered into the covenant. Because God understood that even in the wilderness, lip service was not enough. God understood that the only way to make this covenant was to tell people to stand up. Stand up, says God, and you become part of this covenant. Stand up and your descendants will be part of this covenant. Because the only way that I'm going to know that you accept what I'm giving you is if I see you stand up. So ladies and gentlemen, it's time. As I said, if you can look at this and you're okay with it, no one's coming after you, no one's going to arrest you, no one's going to kick you out of the club. But if you look at this and you go, no, I don't want to be this, then please join with me and let's stand up for what we believe in. Thank you.
This podcast is copyright 2024 Rabbi Don Weber, all rights reserved. You may copy and distribute any episode freely as long as it is preserved in its entirety. For additional permissions, please contact me. Thank you.